This is the Ladbrokes Racing Channel. Keep up to date with all the latest racing news and previews at news.ladbrokes.com. And for all the latest odds, head to ladbrokes.com. Online, on mobile, and also on tablet.
Hello and welcome to the Channel 4 Racing Podcast. My name's William Geldart, joined in the studio once again by Ben Stones and Matt Mower. We're going to be looking at the card at Newbury on the Saturday. We're looking at the three group races, starting with the 145, that's the John Porter Stakes, over 1 mile, 4 furlongs, and a few yards as well. Let's have a look at a few of the participants in this then. Let's start off, both of you, with Romsdal. John Gosden's charge, third in the Derby last term. Why didn't exactly sparkle as a three-year-old? What do you think we can expect to see a year on?
I think this horse is probably the quality horse in the field. You know, he was placed in a Derby, placed in St. Ledger. That form looks very solid now. He warmed up with a decent win at Kempton 3 weeks ago. I think that'll blow the cobwebs away. And it might sound an unoriginal pick, but I think he's probably the likely winner here, to be honest.
All right, cheers for that, Ben. Let's look at now Windshear. You both got your opinions on him. Richard Hughes, Hannon Combo in action. St. Ledger fourth. This is his type of distance, and we know he'll go well on the ground. So what do we rate his chances as?
Yeah, I quite like this one. I know Richard Hannon holds his horse in really high regard. And last season he said that when he finally fills his frame, that it'll be very, very good. There's been rumours that he'll be going for the Melbourne Cup this year, so he could be one to keep an eye on. The other Hannon horse as well, Pethers Moon, I know he carries plenty of weight, but around 10 to 1, that could be a crack in each way price. He's been running consistently at the highest level, winning Group 3s and Group 2s. I think in 14 of his 18 runs under rules, he's finished in the top 3, so at the moment, that looks like a very good price.
Yeah, I totally agree with Matt on Pethers Moon. I think he could be an each way bet to get in to make the places. Yeah, Matt was saying he's consistent. He's only been out of the first three once in his 11 runs over a mile and a half. So this is obviously his trip. The ground will be in his favour. And like I say, he's consistent. So you can see him running his race and perhaps knocking one of the top three in the market out of those first three home.
Okay, and if I had a look at Arab Spring as well, and found out a little winning group company on his last appearance at Newmarket. He was the evens favourite then. This is his first run out this season. Do either of you be prepared to give another chance here?
No, I think you're right. I think he perhaps was found out in that race at the July meeting behind Cavalryman. That came at a time when the Michael Stout Yard were really firing. They had a really good season last year. And I just feel that this horse might have been overbet because of that. And, you know, he progressed from handicap company up to the group stage. He's only had 6 runs. As a five-year-old, he's perhaps the type that will improve. You know, he's in the right hand, so Michael Stout does well with these older horses throughout the years. But I think he's too short. I think he potentially was found out in that race, and I'd be willing to take him on with 2 or 3 in this race, to be honest.
Yeah, I think we're potentially being a little bit harsh. You know, the handicaps he did win were really lucrative in the Jorvik Stakes and the Duke of Edinburgh. And he was giving plenty of weight away those days as well. So, you know, he's obviously talented. But I probably do agree with you. There's a couple of more unexposed types in this race who might just find him out.
Okay. Let's move on then. 2:15, the Fred Darling Stakes Group 3 contest for fillies. So over 7 furlongs. I suppose the logical place to start would be with Tiggy Wiggy. The champion juvenile, odds on shot here. 5 from 7 under rules for Richard Hannon, chasing a 4-timer now. This is her first attempt at 7 furlongs, as we saw in races like the Cheveley Park Stakes last time out. Should that be much of a concern?
Normally it would. This horse, you know, she showed real good speed. She's a real fast animal last year. So if she can get away from them, she might be hard to catch. But I think the Hannon team are thinking about trying different tactics about holding her up this race to get that extra trip. That normally would have me worried, but I think she's the class horse in this field. With the extra furlong, she's even money, shade of odds on. There might be other horses in the field that might be an each way play, but she's obviously the quality horse, and finding something to beat her, I think, is going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, she's £15 clear on ratings, so that says it all, really. However, I can't really have her around even money, especially, I think she's a sprinter. I think it's going up to 7 furlongs. I think they're hoping she'll get the mile next, but I can't really see it. She was a small horse as a two-year-old, and Hannon said that she hasn't really grown at all over the summer, so she's still small, and for that reason, I think I'll be looking to take her on at even money.
Okay, well, let's talk about taking her on then, because the next best, I suppose, in the betting at least, this Jellicle Ball, 7-2, priced up on potential, perhaps? Won a maiden at Kempton, but what do we know about this horse?
Yeah, I hate horses like this at this price that are, you know, priced up on a maiden win and, you know, what could be. I think if Tiggy Wiggy's too short, I think this horse is a horrible price. About a 7-2 shot. There's been, I think we've had a fair bit of money for this horse for the 1,000 guineas. So there's obviously some good vibes coming from the yard. But I mean, that race that it won at Kempton, yes, she won it well, came from the back, had to come around the whole field. But there's only been 2 horses run since from that contest, and they've both been well beaten. So you can't say that's strong form. It might turn out to be in time, but at 7-2, I think there's horses in this field that are perhaps better each way plays. If you're wanting to take on Tiggy Wiggy. One that I'll throw out there is Royal Rosalma. She's another one that needs to prove that the 7 furlongs will be a trip, but she's by the French guineas and Derby winner Lope de Vega out of a mile mare. So all the signs are there that the extra distance will be good for her. She's running on at the end of the Cornwall Stakes, which she won, the Group 3 race. That's over 5 furlongs, so she's obviously got a couple more to get here. She had a subsequent Group 3 winner, Shaha, 5 lengths behind in Goodwood, last season. So she's beaten some smart animals. And I think at 14-1, I think that would be the bet for me in this race.
Okay, Matt, have you spotted any others you'd like to take a fancy to?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Jellicle Ball. I think at 7-2, you've got to have some really good vibes coming out of the yard. And I wouldn't be preparing to side with her from what she's shown so far. Around 20-1, I think Red Start's very interesting. She's saddled by Ralph Beckett, who's won this race twice out of the last 5 years. She's by Cockney Rebel, who won the English and Irish 2000 guineas, so she's got really nice breeding. She only ran twice last year, and apparently she's been working well at home. So, you know, around 20-1, that's a definite each-way shout.
Good stuff. Plenty of potential value in that one. Let's move on to our third and final race that we're going to preview then. That's the Greenham Stakes Group 3 Contest 250. Again, a good favourite here. Ivorwood obviously won his first 3 starts before being beaten on soft ground last time out in the Middle Park Stakes. Really promising juvenile. One obviously Richard Hannon and Rich Hughes have high hopes for heading towards the Guineas.
Yeah, I think on a similar sort of vein to Tiggy Wiggy, Ivorwood's probably the quality horse in this field. After he won the July Stakes, you could sense that Richard Hughes and Richard Hannon thought that this horse was going to be the real deal. He's looked very good. I think you can probably put his defeat at the end of last season down to the soft ground. But, I mean, he's by Zebedee, you know, he's a sprinter. And if you look at his breeding, his progeny as a stallion so far, his best horses or his best strike rate have come at the shorter distances. So Ivorwood's going to have to go against the trends and the form of his breeding to get the 7 furlongs. But I don't think he's looked like stopping over the longer distance. But I think at 7-4, 6-4, something like that, I think there's enough quality in this field to look elsewhere.
Okay, 2 potentials that could take on Ivorwood. Obviously, Bilardo, course and distance winner. 4th behind Ivorwood in the July Stakes that you were talking about before. Do you think he's the viable alternative in this race?
Not for me. I don't know what it is about Bilardo. I'm just not particularly taken with the horse. He was a bit in and out last season. You know, he ran well and won, and then he was a bit disappointing, and then he won again. And, you know, he never really sort of strung some decent performances together. He was brushed aside by Ivorwood after Bilardo won his maiden really nicely at Yarmouth. But he is the only course and distance winner in the field. So we can probably, you know, that's an added tick for him. We know he copes with the trip. So there are good things for him, but I don't know. I just don't feel great about backing a horse. It's just not for me.
Okay, I think you know where I'm trying to push you, or the direction. The next one will come to Escar. Obviously lost out to Bellardo in the Champagne Stakes when the favourite. But Ben, you're pretty sweet on a possible reversal in that form.
Yeah, you don't have to push me towards Escar. I think he's real good value. I think he's about a 6-1 shot. And I think, you know, we've joked about it in the past, but he's an each way bet to nothing. You know, I can't see this horse not being in the first three. I think he's another that found the soft ground, went against him on his last start towards the end of last season. Before then, he racked up a hat-trick of wins, a couple at Group 2 level. He had subsequent Solario Stakes winner Actor Banti behind him at Newmarket. And I think he's a quality horse. I don't think there's as much between him and Ivorwood as the market suggests. And especially when you look at their guineas prices, there's a vast difference there. And I think he's a great each way bet for this race. I can see him upsetting Ivorwood and Bellardo.
Yeah, I think Richard Hannon himself has said he's struggling to separate him for the guineas so far. So, you know, that price looks massive. I know he was twice a Group 2 winner last year, and he looked like he could do with filling out a bit. So if he's come on physically, he could be a really good bet.
Okay, well, that just about wraps it up. Thanks for joining me once again, gents. Don't forget, if you back a winner at 4-1 or greater, we'll give you a free bet up to £25. Head to ladbrokes.com online, on mobile and on tablet for further details and terms and conditions. And of course, good luck with your bets this weekend, and we'll catch you again next time.